John chapter number 1, if you'd stand with me in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. John chapter number 1, and if you will, we'll look in verse number 29, just one verse of Scripture tonight. The Bible said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. You be seated. Thank God for the prayer tonight, and thank Him for the reading of the Word. I'm glad that just reading the Word of God makes a difference, aren't you? And boy, I'm telling you, anytime, and I realize, and I told our church folk this Sunday morning, if you've got a job, you've got children, or a spouse, it won't take long. You go to the doctor, and they can find depression on you, or find you need some nerve medicine. You know, you're shook up, and I'm telling you, if you drive on the road much anymore, you're shook up. Amen. But I'm glad tonight that we have a God tonight that not like a God of any other religion tonight. I'm glad that He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities tonight. I'm glad He knows the storm that we just came out of. Maybe you're in it tonight. He knows the storm that you're in tonight. And then look like it may be going wonderful. And things just seem like it's better than it's ever been. But down the road, He knows the storm that's headed your way. He knows that phone call that in 30 seconds could change the rest of your life. And I'm glad tonight that before I ever decided to love Him, I sure am glad He was loving on me. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad for the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I could preach a lot of things tonight, be honest with you. I've prayed about it and I've studied. This is all God laid on my heart tonight for just a few moments. I want to preach on what John saw when Jesus came walking His way. We notice tonight that obviously, if I could title this message, I'd simply title it this: Behold the Lamb of God. Amen. I'd see tonight whenever we see this, if you'll take notice, and some of my folk know this, but I want to throw a little nugget out there the Lord gave me a few years ago. I pray to bless your heart. If you've heard it before, just act like you hadn't, okay? But what happens here, Brother Josh, I got to thinking about this, and the Bible said that John goes out and he's baptizing, and you can read your Bible there and know that I'm telling you the truth, and John's baptizing. John's got many disciples that are following him, and when I say that, it's just simply followers of John because of who he is. Matter of fact, you'll find out also when you get over about and find out that Saul has been converted to Paul, that Paul had many men that followed after him. Matter of fact, he is able to make a brave statement such as this: "Do as I do." Man, I'm telling you, he had some men that was following him, that was watching his life. But I got to thinking about that. John says this. He said, "That one that cometh after me, he is preferred before me. Matter of fact, I'm not even worthy to loose the latchets of his shoes." So John had never saw Jesus. But yet when Jesus steps on the scene, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Man, I just got to think about that. I thought, how in the world did John know who that was? And you think about it tonight, I believe with all my heart. I mean, we've met some good characters in our life, and we've met some strange characters. My young'uns asked me a few weeks ago, and they asked me often, "Daddy, we the only normal people left?" I said, "No, we're really abnormal. I'm telling you, we're the problem, you know? I mean, if you listen to society, everybody gathered in this building tonight, you're the reason the world's in the shape it is." Well, to God be the glory for that. Amen. It'd be in a whole lot better shape if more of them start acting like He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I may not even get into my message. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And I got to thinking about that. I said, how in the world did John know who that was? Well, you'll have to go back. But if you'll look in the book of Luke tonight in chapter number 2, you don't have to turn there. But I'll tell you this. John, who knew who that was, simply this: he never had saw him before, but he had met him before. In Luke chapter number 2, the Bible said that when Elizabeth was 6 months with child, that John was in the belly of Elizabeth. And when Mary walked into the room with Jesus in her womb and introduced herself, that at the salutation, John leapt in the womb of his mother. He had been in the presence of the Lord. Hey, can I say tonight, let me help you just a moment. You and I never have saw Him, but we'll simply know Him because we've met Him. Hallelujah. Oh yes, we'll know Him because we've met Him before. I'm telling you that you ever talk to anybody on the telephone? Maybe you talk to them 2 or 3 months. I'm not talking about it at one time, but over time you may have talked to them. And then you finally get to meet them. And you say something like this: well, I feel like I've known you, but now I'm finally putting a face with a voice. Now y'all sit there if you want to, but I'm going to go on and have a good time. I mean, that ever happened to you? I mean, finally, you get to put a face with a name. Hey, can I tell you, thank God there's coming a day for the child of God that you and I are going to be able to say, oh yes, behold the Lamb of God. That's Him. That's Him. That's Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. John knew Him, not because he'd saw Him before, but simply because he'd met Him before. Amen. I want to show you some things right here. I've got some few things I want to preach on. Let me just give you an introduction. Some things John saw there. Well, we know, number one, he saw the sacrifice. He said, behold the Lamb. Well, I think I heard the preacher say while I was running down the hall there a while ago, I had an emergency, amen. And I believe I heard the preacher say our world and our nation is in a turmoil. Hey, can I say tonight, I'm not preaching politics. Y'all throw rocks at me when I get done if you feel like I am. Hey, but if I bust a bubble, I do. But I'm telling you, it's not in the elephant. It will not be in the Republican Party. It's not in the donkey tonight. It will not be in the Democratic Party. Oh, but thank God, it is in the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Think we need a third party, don't you? The independent party. We need the Lamb to be the mascot for the independent party. What do you mean by that, preacher? I'm just telling you tonight, Democrats ain't going to fix what we're in tonight. Republicans, I'm thankful for it. A whole lot better than what we've had in a long time. But that ain't going to fix it. I believe tonight that America's still the greatest country, greatest nation in the world. But can I say tonight, for it to ever be what it one time was, God has to be first and foremost. That's why we need revival. That's why our homes need God in it. That's why our young people need to be saved. We need the Lamb tonight. Amen. You look at that and think about that tonight. He saw the sacrifice. The Bible said it was a lamb. Boy, I'm thinking about that. If you go back, and I got a whole lot going on in my mind tonight, in my heart, but you go back to the book of Moses, there was a Passover. They was to take a lamb into the house there. And if there was more lamb than there were people, there's to call more people in.
Come on.
You notice whenever you read that in the book of Exodus, there's never more people than there are lamb. But there's more lamb than there are people. If you got to, oh yeah, I'm about to have a spell, preacher. Hey, it's the first time, maybe it's the glass pulpit. First time I ever preached behind a glass pulpit, but maybe that's what it is. But it's helping tonight. Y'all hear me? He didn't say if there's not enough lamb, go get more lamb. He said, if there's not enough people, go get them. I'm glad the Lamb is sufficient tonight. He said, behold the Lamb. Number one tonight, John saw the sacrifice. He saw the Lamb. I like this. In the book of Exodus over there, Brother Keith, when he's talking about Moses, it was a Lamb. When John was talking in John chapter 1, it was the Lamb. Oh yes, it ain't just a lamb coming out of the barn anymore. It is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Not only that tonight, but watch it. He saw the sacrifice. But also he saw the Son. Watch this. Behold, the Lamb of God. It wasn't just any old lamb. Hey, listen, this wasn't just a lamb of the first year without blemish, without spot. You read your Bible tonight, this is a lamb of 33 years old without blemish and without spot, tempted in every way, such as you and I are, but did not sin. Hey, listen, he didn't sin just because he didn't want to. He sinned because he had no desire to. Oh, yes. We saw the sacrifice, it was the lamb. We saw the Son, it was of God. We saw the substitute, watch what it says, which taketh away. Hey, are you in there somewhere tonight? Which taketh away. Oh, yes, we were all sinners. But because of the Lamb, which taketh away. Then he saw this. He saw the sacrifice, saw the Son, saw the substitute. But how about this? He saw the scope. You said, preacher, now wait a minute. I believe you might have made that one up. Well, just wait a minute. You ever look through a scope? You look through a scope, it'll magnify what's there, but it'll also see you a long ways out. I believe John saw the scope of time because he says this. He said, the sin of the world. When John saw him, he said, behold the Lamb of God, take away my sin.
No.
Behold the Lamb of God. Which taketh away the sin of the world. He saw the scope of time. For God so loved me. No, thank God he did, but that's not the verse. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, I'm glad tonight John saw down through the scope of time. And he said, behold the Lamb. Man, I'm telling you. Now, some of you may have had the privilege. And if you did... Well, Brother Mickey, he might have had the privilege of knowing personally Elvis Presley. I'm just picking, brother, you're younger than that. But you know what we know? We know impersonators. You know what goes on in a lot of churches come tomorrow morning? Impersonation. I ain't even got in my message. I'm in trouble. I'm plumb out from behind the pulpit. Ain't even gotten my message yet. Man, it feels good to be saved, don't it? There'll be a whole lot of impersonating going on tomorrow. What I mean by that, there'll be a whole lot of things substituted for the Holy Ghost of God. There'll be a whole lot of things substituted for gospel music. Y'all help me right there. And there'll be a whole lot of things substituted standing in a suit and a tie for a man of God. That's right, I said it. There'll be a whole lot of impersonating going on come tomorrow morning. Oh, but can I tell you, whenever John looked down the road that day, thank God it wasn't no impersonation. It wasn't no so-called preacher. It wasn't no so-called substitute. It was the Lamb of God. He wasn't there for money. He wasn't there for an offering. He wasn't there for your tithe. He was there to take away the sin of the world. Number one tonight, watch this. The Lamb is the sacrifice for sin. Leviticus chapter number 12, verses 6 through 8. You don't have to turn tonight, but whenever you look at that, the Bible said that after a woman had given birth for a woman child, it was different than a man child. But for a man child, there was a time of 7 days, and on the 8th day she was considered purified of her body, of her blood, because of where she had gave birth. But whenever she went to present herself, down at the tabernacle, she had to take an offering for the burnt offering and an offering for the sin offering. Now for the burnt offering, that was for the offense. For the sin offering, that was for the offender. So there's two different offerings. And the Bible says that whenever a woman goes to do that, that she would take 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And if she didn't have 2 turtle doves, she could take a lamb of the first year and she could carry it down there to be for the sacrifice. But can I say this? If you'll notice, the Bible said that when 8 days had been accomplished, that Mary went down to the temple.
Yep.
She had her turtle doves with her, headed off down the temple. The Bible said when she went down there that day that she carried Jesus with her because it's to be circumcised. Now wait a minute. John said, behold, the Lamb of God take away the sin of the world. Now the Bible said you'd had supposed to take down there. I'm talking about him being the sacrifice. You're supposed to take down 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And if you couldn't afford the turtle doves or you couldn't afford the pigeons, you could carry a lamb with you down there. But one of them offerings, one of them turtle doves, was for the sin offering. And one of them turtle doves, the one was for the sin sacrifice, and one was for the burnt sacrifice. One was for the offense, and one was for the offender. So she had two of them. That's what the law said in the book of Leviticus. But you see, whenever Jesus was born, He was born to take over the law and become grace. So Brother Mickey, she went down there to purify herself them two turtle doves. But that lamb she carried down there that day was not just for her. It was for the sins of the world. She didn't just carry two turtle doves down there, one for the offense and one for the offender. She also carried a lamb down there that day. That was a lamb to take away the sin of the world. He was for the offense and for the offender. You realize when He went to Calvary, you know what He did? The Bible said He took upon the sins of the world. When He went to Calvary, He took upon the offense. The offense of the world was laid upon Him. But when He hung there and He gave up the ghost, He did it for the offender. He didn't just die for your sins, honey. He died for you.
Amen.
He was a sacrifice for the offense and the offender. Amen. I'm glad it done away with the law. Number one tonight, we see that John saw the sacrifice. The lamb is the sacrifice not just for the sin, not just for the sinner, but He's the sacrifice for the sin and the sinner. I mean, had no sin. Had no sin. Laid off all of His royalty, all of His dignity, that He might, watch this, not that He might become a sinner. The Bible said He might become sin for us. He didn't become a sinner. He became sin itself. Just don't know if I can take it or not. For us tonight. On our behalf. Boy, I tell you, you know what we need tonight? We just need to stop just a moment and recognize who the Lamb of God is. Hey, listen, there's a whole lot going on in the house of God tonight. Hey, listen, and there's a lot of things called worship. There's a lot of things called praise tonight. But do you realize what praise is? That's when God does something you don't deserve. Worship's when if He don't ever do anything else, He's still God. And He's still worthy of our praise.
Amen, brother.
You know why I have a lot of trouble with a praise band? It ain't necessarily because it sounds like rock and roll. I ain't got no interest anyway because it does sound that way. But I tell you what the problem is. They can get up during the praise time and they'll sway and shake and clap and holler and shout. And it comes time for the preacher and they just turn into a knot on the log. If that was true praise, then we ought to have some worship when we start reading His Word. Genesis chapter number 22. I'm trying to preach. Genesis chapter number 22. If you'll notice, whenever Abraham's faith was put to the test, the Bible said Abraham looked at the men behind. He said, "You men stay right here." He said, "Me and the lads going yonder to worship. And we will come again." He didn't say, "Me and the lads going yonder to praise." He said, "We're going to worship." Now, why do you think Abraham said we're going to worship instead of praise? I'll tell you why. Because he's as human as you and I are. And at this moment in his life, there ain't a whole lot to be praising for. You say, "Now, wait a minute, preacher. You just said a minute ago, if God don't ever do anything else." I said He's worthy of our worship. It's human nature for you and I to praise Him when we're on the mountaintop. I said in our congregation the other night, I said, "You know, we ought to praise Him in all things, but going down the highway and you have a blowout, it's hard to get out beside the road and just, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord." And Brother Mickey, that was on a Wednesday night. We headed off down 21, and Casey and Skyler was in front of us about 2 minutes, and I went by them, they're sitting on the road with a flat tire. So me and Brother Keith Brown and his family, we had to go down to John's, we'll turn around, come back up to Elk and turn around. They was in between Elk and John. And change a flat tire. Casey texted me later on. She said, "Preacher, I just want to tell you, I love my man of God. But next Wednesday night, can you preach on finding money on the side of the road?" Me and Brother Donald was trying to leave town Monday. We was already 30 minutes behind because Willie's car wouldn't crank. Guess what happened, Brother Mickey, before I ever got out of Elkin? A flat tire. You know, I told Brother Donald, I said, you just sit right here. I'm going to get out and praise God for a little while. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Watch this right here. Here's a perfect example. Matter of fact, if you'll go back and read about Abraham and Isaac, you'll see Calvary.
Right.
Help me, preacher. You'll see Calvary, won't you?
Right.
You go back and read about Abraham and Isaac. You'll see Calvary. Oh, but here's what happened. The Bible said he went up yonder. He went all the way. The Bible said Isaac said, Father, we have the wood. We have the fire. But where is the sacrifice? He said, Son, God will provide himself a ram. They get on up there and the Bible said Abraham's laid Isaac over on the altar. He rears back his hand to slay him. And a voice out of heaven says, Abraham, Abraham.
Right.
And he turns to look.
Yes,
caught in the thicket by his horns.
There you go.
That's another message too right there.
There you go.
Was a ram.
That's right.
You know why he's caught by his horns? Because it had to be without blemish.
Yes, sir.
Had to be without spot. If he'd been caught by the leg, been wounded.
Yes,
he's caught by his horns.
Go.
God provided it.
Amen.
So guess what happens? That ram takes the place of Isaac. Isaac gets up off that altar. Now, y'all follow that with me, if you will. The communion table laying here tonight, and there's Isaac up on the altar. You reckon maybe, Brother Josh, Isaac went by that ram. Now, don't let me gross you out, but I mean, it's a sacrifice. And the altar's burning, you hear me? They see incense going up off that altar. It's a sweet savor in the nostrils. Boy, I'm about to have a spell. I'm talking about this is a gory mess right here on this altar. But it had it not been for the Lamb of God. Had not been for God providing a ram, that would have been Isaac laying there. Hey, look up here tonight. Had it not been for God providing for you and I a lamb, that would have been you and I tonight as a sacrifice. Or the burnt incense coming out of the card. Damned of hell tonight. Had it not been for the Lamb of God, that would have been you and I. And Brother Wayne, I can't help but think, I ain't got scripture for it, but the Bible said there was some praying and worshiping going on.
Yep.
Amen.
And I believe maybe Isaac went by and got that ram by the back of his head there and pulled that old thing up, looked at him eyeball to eyeball, and that ram's life's been given. Blood dripping off that altar, smoke coming up off that altar every time that blood hits that fire. And Isaac looks in the eyes of that ram saying, you took my place today. Had it not been for you, I'd have died on this altar today. Now reckon what's happening going back down that mountain. You reckon maybe there's a whoop. Maybe one of them Baptists.
You're right.
Hey, you go back just a moment to the very moment that the Lord saved your unworthy soul. You fell in the altar somewhere, beside of a bed somewhere, in a barn somewhere, or on the side of the road somewhere, behind a rock somewhere. And you know who you got introduced to? You got introduced to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that day, you was delivered of your sin. And on the way back, there was a rejoicing.
That's right. Amen.
No, preacher. I'll just be honest. I ain't never shouted. Well, I'm going to keep preaching, try to help you, okay? Because I tell you what heaven did the day you got saved.
Yes, preacher.
You say what? The Bible said that even the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner gets saved. Now wait a minute. There's a song we sang there at the church about being redeemed. And brother, you know what it says in there? It says that even the host of heaven is going to be silent. The angels are going to step aside. Because here comes the redeemed. They can't shout about being redeemed. They don't know what it's like to be set free from their sin. Brother, they don't know what it's like to be redeemed. So why in the world are we going to let the angels shout about somebody getting saved? And I sit there like a knot on the law. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah tonight. He saw the sacrifice. The Lamb taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb is sufficient. So it's a sacrifice for the sin. And for the sinner. Not only that, but number two tonight, I'm hurrying. The Lamb is the salvation for the sinner. John said, behold the Lamb of God. Take away the sin of the world. You know what it was in Genesis chapter number 22 to that day? You know what that ram was? Look up here. He was a salvation for Isaac. Huh? He was a salvation for us. He was the substitute. He was the sacrifice. He was the salvation on Isaac's behalf that day. You think about this. Boy, there them men were down there at the foot of the altar. And I mean, the Bible don't tell us. And I believe it was Jeremiah said this Wednesday night. If not, I'm giving you credit for it. But he said his dad, Brother Jeremy said, we know what black means in our Bible. And then some of you, can I borrow that just a second, sir? Some of y'all got them red letter Bibles. So you know what the black and the red is. But when we get to heaven, I'm kind of happy about what that white is, ain't you?
That's right. There you go.
All them things that this soul, natural body can't hold.
Amen.
We'll find out about it when we get to. Because I can't help but think them men have been with Abraham long enough to know something's going to die today.
Yeah.
Isaac knew it because he asked where he's at.
Yep.
I've got a good feeling if Isaac come to realize that when he's laying on the altar and the ram took his place, there's some real rejoicing going on. Amen. Coming back down the other side of the mount. You see, what happens is we want to pray and have no worship.
Yeah. On,
you start worshiping, you'll have a whole lot to praise.
Yeah.
A whole lot of praise goes on if you'll start worshiping first.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just be honest with you. If y'all took up enough money to buy me and my wife a new car tonight, I'm going to praise God all the way home. If y'all didn't, I'm going to worship Him anyway. That's the difference. You see, we can praise God when everything's going smooth. Y'all all right? But worship is when it all falls. When it all falls apart. He's still God. And He's still worthy. Amen? We see the Lamb is a sacrifice for sin. It's a salvation for the sinner. And last but not least, the Lamb is sufficient.
Amen.
Sufficient. You don't have to go back to Calvary tonight. Every now and again, I like to visit there, don't you? But I don't need to go back and get saved all over again. Oh, I'm glad for that. Y'all don't die on me right there. Now, that's one thing y'all be happy about. Amen. I mean, you've got to go to the bank once or twice a week or the ATM machine. Boy, I'm glad for Calvary, aren't you? Well, I don't have to go back. Amen. You, if you're like me, excuse me, my girls, we like to go to the table three or four times a day. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, Brother Donovan.
Go now.
Amen. Amen. I'm beginning to think that Donovan is really how we know that our ancestors is Adam and Eve. Because if you study out Adam and Eve, Eve eat them out of house and home too. Amen? That's right. I got to calm down. I got one more point. Y'all can't get carried away. Watch this right here. I'm almost done. Brother, if you got somebody you want to send to the piano, that'd be a blessing. The Lamb is sufficient. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men. Whereby we must be saved. Brother Donovan, go to the piano for me, son. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men. Whereby you must be saved. You realize tonight, He's sufficient. That Lamb is sufficient. Preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean this. I mean tonight there's religions all across this world tonight. And it's getting to the place there's almost as many religions or more religions than there are. What so-called Bibles tonight, they don't have any idea what they believe. They don't know who they believe. They don't know what they stand for. They don't know where to get in, where to get out. They listen, the God of their religion is dead tonight. They're on a hope so. A maybe so. If I can work good enough, if I can do it, let me share this with you. I'm done tonight. In Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says this. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. Though your sins be as scarlet. Anybody know what color scarlet is? It's red. How many times have you been taught growing up that our sins is black as such? Well, they are on my end of it. But on Christ's end, our sins are scarlet. What that means is they're already paid for.
That's right. Amen.
Calvary turned your black sins to scarlet.
Yes, it did.
What that means is if you die lost, You die with your sins already having the blood of Jesus. You say, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. There's no more sacrifice. What happened at Calvary was a sacrifice for the sins of the world. There's no more shedding of the blood at Calvary. In other words, that blood that fell from Calvary was enough to save the world. That means this tonight. If you and I die, lost and undone without God, we die with the blood of Jesus and Christ Himself already being the sacrifice for our sins. The only way we go to hell is not accepting the blood of Jesus. We simply do this right here. I don't want the blood. I don't want it. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all around. What cleanses us? That blood from Calvary. The blood from Calvary cleanses us. Everybody all right? Once a year, the high priest would go in and he'd sacrifice that goat. And then they had what they called a scapegoat on the outside. And what they'd do, they'd go in there and they'd put that blood on the altar and on the mercy seat. And that priest would come back out. And that scapegoat, he'd take his hands, he'd wipe them on that goat, that hyssop on that goat, and he'd send it out of the city. And it was somebody's job to stand around, make sure that goat didn't come back. But every year, there's a reminder of that. Boy, aren't you glad you don't have to go home tonight and wonder if the goat's coming back into camp? Jesus Christ, have mercy. 3 days later, got up out of the grave. Bible said he visited with Mary. Visited with some of his disciples. He sat with them. He talked to them. He said he promised he'd send a comforter. My friend, he entered into the portals of glory. Went right to the mercy seat of the Lamb of God and God the Father. And presenting the blood for the sins of the world. And can I say tonight, thank God my sins are covered. Your sins are covered. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. You know what He did? He justified you. Simply this, Brother Corey. Justified never done it. Justified never went that way. Justified never made that error. He is sufficient. The Lamb is sufficient.
Yes, indeed.
How'd John know who the Lamb was? Not because he'd saw Him, but simply because he'd met Him. Maybe you've never met Him before. You've tried to have a conversation with Him. You know what He wants to do tonight? He wants to put a touch with that voice you've heard before. He wants to put a relationship. A relationship with that voice you've heard tonight. Well, there's been enough on our televisions this last week. Brother Billy Graham, Dr. Billy Graham, you realize the gospel has been shared on our news channels, on national television, more this week than I can honestly say it has been since I've been born. You know why? Because that Lamb was sufficient. Hey, there may be some controversy in our realm of Christianity tonight about who Billy Graham was. But can I say this? He preached God. He preached the Bible. He preached about the Lamb. I visited the library. Hey, listen, I can't say I'm happy with what's going on in the generation below him. But I can say this. He was a man of integrity. A man that loved God. Oh, but can I say the only reason he or you or me or who we are tonight is because of the Lamb. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You stand to your feet all across the house. Preacher's coming tonight.